You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Out muscular guy, and he's got a lion's head. And by the end of it, I was just like, I kind of want him.
I kind of want. Well, I mean, I like Kilrathi, but that's what he is. He's a Kilrathi.
It kind of makes sense.
Like the reason that he looks like that is because he's supposed to be like the amalgamation of like the presidential spirit.
Yeah, he's.
So it's like a guy who like is just unquestionably American. Plus all the like great spirits of the presidents, and apparently that makes you a Kilrathi. So that's what happens. You turn into a giant cat person,
and it's actually kind of like his whole all the stuff is kind of compelling, and it's like that's good writing too. But just like
it's so weird,
yeah. But like I mean, not apart from just like the fact that he's a useful character. He'd be a useful caster to have on your team. It's just like I kind of want him because he's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't think I want him enough to roll for him, though.
Yeah, probably not, but Humstead. I wouldn't mind. Like you, I wouldn't mind having him.
Yeah, if I got him, I'd be perfectly happy to use him. Yeah. Humstead is a Kilrathi.
Kilrathi, yeah. And I like the whole thing with the towards the end when, like, that's why you lose to Tesla.
Yeah, then Edison and then Tesla just shows up out of freaking nowhere. Oh, all right, we're doing Edison versus Tesla. Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
That whole thing was fun. I mean, because at first I thought, like, I wasn't sure where the whole story was going to go. Was it going to go super serious or what? But it seemed that way.
Well, a lot of people die.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of characters die in that chapter.
Oh, God. Like, Billy the Kid and Geronimo, like, they're unceremoniously gone.
Yeah. Well, because the whole assassination corps...
Yeah.
Like, the whole group that goes off to assassinate, only Robin Hood returns.
Yeah, and that's just simply because of what he is...
Well, because of him and Scaff.
And his Phantasm, but yeah. But that's just like, oh, wow, didn't even get to see them in action, really. They didn't really get a center stage moment.
No, they just went off and did not come back.
Right. But, yeah, also, yeah, I mean, was Berserker Coup...
It'd be nice to have him.
Nice to have him. Like, from a character design-wise standpoint, I'd kind of prefer him without, like, all the dragon stuff.
Oh, I like all that crap. I think that looks really cool. It sets him apart.
It does, but, like, it's kind of... Because I already have a character who does that with Lancer Arthur.
Oh, that's right. You actually got Lancer Arthur.
Yeah, and, like, her horse, like, overlaps with everything.
So. Well, no, I would love having that. I just, I didn't manage to roll that.
Yeah.
Despite my best efforts.
Yeah. Yeah, she's nice.
But I reread all of, what was it, the Gudako manga. That stuff is so funny.
Yeah.
Like all of her stuff is great. All that April Fool's stuff was hilarious. I still love Solomon's card, the big bad guy, and just having Gudako, like, strangling him to death. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true. Like, because all the stuff she does in her comic is so funny.
Yeah.
Like, all the horrible things she does to people. I like like, the really great one I love is, like, her feeding, like, raw, dead, like, bunny cats to Arthur. And it's just, like, the pile of corpses.
Yeah.
That, like, you can see off to the side as she eats them. I'm like, oh, God.
Apparently she's lawful good.
Yeah, gotta eat those bunny cats.
Yes. But this is the Wayward Podcast. So we're totally coming in on at random. I'm Toshi.
I'm Richard.
And one interesting thing that came up this week, what am I saying, this episode, because, you know, Japan has recently been going, it's not all that recent either, but they've been really getting into the live action.
Yeah, like if you have something, if you have a popular manga, it's becoming more and more common to, when the anime comes out, also put out a live action movie at the same time or within, like, the next year.
Yeah, because, yeah, we had that with My Love Story, we had that with what...
Silver Spoon recently did it.
Yeah, Silver Spoon. Just recently we had, what was it, Boku Dake Ga Inai. What's the...
Erased.
Erased did it.
Yeah. So yeah, we're getting... They're going for like a very much a media blitz. Like, let's get this out there while we can get it out there. Of course, Attack on Titan, there's another one.
Yep. And they're also... Another thing they've also been doing with like Rurouni Kenshin, they're going back to like the gold mine. Mm-hmm. For the ones that, like, you know, the sort of evergreen...
Yeah.
The sort of... The ones... The stories that sort of extend beyond their, you know, their era.
Yeah, the ones that people still look back fondly on as classics.
Yeah. And one they've just announced is for Full Metal Alchemist. And yeah, which is kind of ironic because I'm just starting to get my girlfriend into reading the manga because I really, really, really love the manga. I know it's blasphemous to say this, but I'm not really a fan of the anime.
No, like that was kind of the weird thing with me is I really liked the original anime, and then when Brotherhood started, I remember I watched like the first three episodes. I was like, I have seen this already.
Yeah.
Why am I watching this again, only shorter and more condensed? And I was just like, I'm just going to read the manga. And so I did. And I never went back to Brotherhood. Yeah. I never had the need.
Well, it's because the manga was... it was because the original anime caught up to the manga.
Right, right. And then they went off on their own. And I fully support that. I would much rather you have you catch up, go off on your own, and reach your own ending than just stop and wait.
Yeah. I would prefer that they stick with it, which is something that happens with a lot of anime, is that they can't stick with it, because, like, especially with, like, ongoing series, like, Naruto, Bleach, stuff like that, Dragon Ball.
Well, those are the weeklies, those are a little different.
But when they catch up to something, an ongoing popular manga, they have no choice
but to vamp. Yeah.
And usually they vamp Dragon Ball did it by having the power-ups last for weeks.
Boy, did they draw it out.
Naruto and Bleach, they famously, and another one, Rurouni Kenshin, they famously did it by adding in these filler episodes, which really don't help. And actually, I think especially in the case of Rurouni Kenshin, it actually ended up killing the popularity of the anime.
Well, like, what I had heard actually is, with that one, is they, with Kenshin specifically, is that they couldn't get the green light to do the final arc.
Really?
Yeah, the final arc's really dark.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's very, very dark. I mean, lots of bad stuff happens. And I'd heard that, like, you just couldn't put that... Like, they couldn't get the go-ahead to put that... Like, to animate that. And so they just made a separate third arc that was pretty freaking terrible. I mean, we'll all agree. Because it's the same reason. They never did the flashback one. They had to put that out as an OVA.
Yeah.
The origin story of Kenshin.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they never... I mean, they kind of half-heartedly did it in anime form, but they've never really done the third arc of Kenshin, which is unfortunate, because that's easily my favorite part.
But it's also, it's kind of hard, because like you say, it does go delve into pretty dark territory. It's like, spoilers, it's him dealing with his past. He's like, the seeds he planted decades ago have come to fruition, and they've come back to basically ruin his life.
Yeah, because the whole thing with, like, Shishio is he just kind of ditches Shishio. Shishio just has to, like, when Kenshin stops being the man-killer, the man-cutter, the Hitokiri, when he stops that job, somebody has to pick it up, and it's Shishio, and Shishio's whole thing is he's like, oh, yeah, no, I was really the greatest one, not you.
Yeah.
And that's... But, like, I don't even think they'd ever technically met.
I don't think so.
Like, it wasn't if personal serves, like, at
they'd
all.
Never, yeah, they'd heard of each other, but they'd never met in person.
Yeah, it was a professional rivalry, not a personal one. Whereas the Inishi arc is all personal. It's basically every person who he wronged in the past comes back. And what's interesting is none of, like, the plan is not to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the end of the plan. But everything up until that point, it's basically since he's finally settled down and finally chosen, like, a family.
Yeah.
Take that away from him. Basically make it, like, they all lost someone dear to them because of him, whether it was a master or a sister or whatever, right? They've all lost someone personally close to them because of Kenshin. Yeah. And so they, now that he's finally decided, oh, this is my home, this is my family, now they have something to take from him.
Yeah, now he has something to lose.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is that, like, while it does delve into some pretty dark territory, as I said, it also does remain a little lighthearted in him, and it has moments of entertainment and humor, even, which is, so it's kind of hard to, you can't really go lighthearted like the TV anime, and you can't really go all dark like the OVA.
Yeah.
So it's a really hard one to do properly.
Well, and that's one of the things, like, one of the things that they kind of carry over into the third arc is, like, the idea of Sano's hand. You know, he does the double punch thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very, very clear on it, like, you used it too much.
Yeah.
You can't do it anymore.
Like, yeah, like,
your hand will explode.
Yeah, every bone in your hand has micro fragments in it. It's like micro fractures in it.
Like, yeah, it's like, you try this anymore, your hand will explode. Guess what? Spoiler for the manga, he still does it, and guess what? His hand explodes. Like, it's this really gruesome scene. Yeah. Like, it's not something you'd expect in, like, something as lighthearted as Kenshin usually is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm personally holding out hope for a live-action adaptation of it. Because all three Kenshin movies did really well, and I can see them going back to it. I don't think they've announced it, but...
Yeah, because... Yeah. I agreed that the Kenshin live-action movies were really good.
Yeah, they were fine. Like, I was very happy with them.
Yeah.
Even the major twists.
But going back to Full Metal Alchemist...
Yeah, live-action that.
Ooh. That's... And because it's such a complex and, you know, convoluted... Not so much convoluted, but it's a complex, you know, intricate story... They've only announced, like, we're gonna make a live action movie, but that's not gonna be one. There's no way they can put that story into a single movie. Especially since they've already announced some of the characters from the initial part of the series. Yeah. Like the guy who, don't want to spoil this too much, but the guy who kills his daughter.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, no, he doesn't kill his daughter, but he
might as well.
Yeah, that character guy, like, you know, he's already cast, so, like, okay, they're bringing in that arc.
Well, like that, if they're smart, they should do it exactly like what happened with Kenshin. Kenshin was planned for one movie, so they took the first arc, and they made that movie.
Yeah.
And they cut what they needed to cut, and it turned out pretty damn good. And then it was super popular, so they made two more.
Yeah.
That's how you should plan Full Metal Alchemist. Yeah. You should not even attempt... anything close to the full story.
No.
Like, if you even go beyond the first tiny arc, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it should pretty much just be the origin story.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, the them, like, what they do as kids and him eventually getting his accreditation as a alchemist, national alchemist. Like, that's what you should cover. You really shouldn't go too far beyond that.
Or they should, I won't say follow verbatim the manga, but sort of while showing that first lead up to the first initial stumbling block in trying to find the Sorcerer's Stone or the Philosopher's Stone, whichever you're picking up how to call it.
Yeah.
But then when they first hit that first big stumbling, before they hit that first big stumbling block, and sort of delve into their past and why this all happened.
Yeah.
And you could probably put all that together into one cohesive story.
Yeah, like, what, like, I'm... Honestly, you structure it like you structure Deadpool. If you do that, it's really good. Because if you think about it, like, if... I don't know, have you seen Deadpool
No,
yet.
I had not. Not coming out. Yeah, that's not officially coming out in Japan until June.
Yeah, the way that movie is structured is it's a very small part of it is actually taking place in the present. The vast majority of the movie is told through flashbacks. I mean, so if you did it that way, like did little bit of present flashback, little bit of present flashback, and you just did the whole movie like that, okay. That would work out pretty well. But I don't know. I still question it. Attack on Titan was just a clusterfuck. It was
an atrocity.
Bad. Yeah, it was really bad. Other ones have been pretty good. Like, I think Ore Monogatari was okay.
Yeah, My Love Story, yep.
Yeah, it didn't... Like, they ended up changing what is my favorite part of the anime and manga, which is how quickly the two get together. But at the same time, as a two-hour motion picture, it kind of makes sense to do it the way they did it. Or else there really wouldn't be anything anyone could call a conclusion. Yeah. It would just kind of stop.
Because the whole thing is basically, these two got together and their relationship.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
It's really what the anime is, but... Yeah. And so I didn't mind the changes there, and you know, it's like I understand that things need to be changed for adaptation, but I really don't think Full Metal Alchemist will turn out very good.
Especially,
I just can't imagine it being like even okay.
Especially with the casting choices with the lead is to bring back a topic we talked about a few episodes ago Johnny's Entertainment, Johnny and, was it Johnny and Friends is the official title, the label, but the lead character is a pop star from a boy band from the Johnny's label.
Of course, because they have to be, or else you're never going to get the money to make it, and you're never going to get the press tour.
Well, that's the sad thing is that like they have to rely on that.
You're almost guaranteed to get a Johnny's, or
if it's something that I'm trying to think, because if it's something that like comes with that much. What pre installed popularity? Like it's already got an established fan base.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, generally for the live action adaptations of manga, the established fan base hates boy band stars. So I'm trying to think. Like, for Rurouni Kenshin, I mean, the main character is he Johnny's?
I think he is, isn't he? Well, because I know that he was. I don't know if he's Johnny's. He was Masked Rider, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he's a common writer. He's one of the common writers.
I know that he is. Yeah, he's one of the pretty boy stars. Yeah. But I know he's not like he's not in any band. I don't think so. And that's another guy who was also in.
Takeru Sato.
Takeru Sato. He was also in the Bakuman adaptation, which I saw, which was actually good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think he's just a straight up actor, isn't he?
He's a talent and an idol. Wow. Not an idol. A visual idol, I guess you could call him. Like he's a pretty boy.
Yeah. Okay, I was checking. He's not in any bands.
Yeah. So he's not necessarily a singer. Yeah,
you need somebody like kind of high.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. Like, Johnny's is usually what people go to, though. Yeah. Like, even, what was it? To get a release of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World in Japan, they cast two Johnnies. How they got the money to
Japan. For the dub?
No.
Or...
The Katiganagi twins are both Johnnies. And they couldn't speak any... Like, they were cast in the role by the Japanese, like, localization team or whatever. And they don't speak a word of English. So they had to cut all the lines, is what I heard. Yeah. Maybe that's just a rumor, but that's what I heard. Like, is that... That's why they don't even say a single line in the entire movie. It's because neither of them speak any English.
Oh, God.
And they were just cast because Johnny said so.
That's... Alrighty. Well, we've been talking for only about 20 minutes or so, maybe less, but we kind of got a big topic to cover, so I think this might be a good time to, on that depressing note, to put in a short break, and then we can come back and get into our topic with giant robots.
Yeah.
Topic for this episode is Gundam or Mobile Suit Gundam. It has been described, I think, as like the Star Wars of Japan or Japan's Star Wars, I guess you could call it, because it came out around the same time. It originally aired in 1979, I think.
Yeah.
So, Mobile Suit Gundam. It was in Japan, robot anime or mecha anime, as they're called. I never really got into the word mecha. I never really got into that. But anyways, like, it's specifically, like, anime robots are specifically mecha, and everything else are robots or something like that. But the giant robots in Japan are divided into two schools of thinking. There are the super robots, which are your Mazinger Zed, your Getter Robot, things like that. And Evangelion. Those are all considered super robots, and then real robots, which are your Gundam, your Macross, other ones? It's kind of the divide between science fiction and science fantasy.
Okay, yeah.
Which would be
if your robot combines, it's probably a super robot.
Yeah.
That's pretty much guaranteed.
Granted, there have been ones that do that in other stuff, but in other, what are considered real robot shows, but that's an exception to the rule.
Yeah, the vast majority of stuff like that is like that, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And Gundam, which aired in, as I say, it was a late 70s show. It ended in 1980, I think. And in 1980, it was 43 episodes long.
Yep.
Which is kind of weird, until you learn that it got canceled. That's the weird thing. It's like anybody who's into anime has heard of Gundam in one form or another. They may not have seen it. They may not, really know all that much, but they've heard.
They at least know what it is. They know it's a giant robot show. It's a mecha show.
And it has been one of. It's one of the most influential anime shows ever.
Oh, yeah. No, If you want to look at its big impact on like how anime works, let me ask you this: where is the cockpit of a giant robot?
It's always in the chest,
right? Except before then, it never was. Where's the cockpit in Mazinger Z?
It's in the head.
It's in the head.
Yeah,
and it's like this thing where instead of being like the brain, it's like the pilot is now the heart of the robot.
Yeah.
They're not its mind. They're like its soul is what it becomes. And like, that's kind of what it is. From that point on, it's always in the chest.
Yeah.
You'll only very, very rarely find changes or exceptions to that. And all the exceptions tend to be super robot, like Gurren Lagann.
Yeah. There are exceptions within Gundam itself, but those exceptions happen to be because the mech they're piloting happens to be really fucking big.
Yeah, right. It's a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's the pilot usually sits in the chest.
But yeah, if you want one major thing that it affected, it's that.
But, yeah, and, I mean, it introduced characters that are anime icons to this day. Like, there are, two main voice actors from the original anime, the protagonist
Amuro and Char, sure.
And Char, like, his rival. The voice actors, that's their label. Like, it's so much that the voice actor for Amuro, Furukawa?
No, I'm not sure.
Trying to remember his name in Japanese and in English at the same time. But he's gone as far as to say that, it's essentially in his contract that he will not voice in any other, in any Gundam anime, except for as Amuro. There's only one exception to that rule, in that he will be credited as someone else. So he actually he voiced a character in Gundam 00.
Uh-huh.
But it's under a different name.
Yeah, I remember that. And that's because that all leads up to the final fight in 00, right?
Exactly, yeah.
You're right, it's that final trick is that final fight in 00 is leading it up to that. You had to have Amuro's voice actor do that.
Yeah.
Or else that final battle...
just wouldn't work.
Just doesn't work, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
Hate 00, by the way. Hate that show so much.
Yeah, but we will get into that.
I will at least go so far as to say that was some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, but they've had the voice actor for Char, Shuichi Ikeda. He's gone on to voice other characters in the Gundam series.
He's in a lot of them, actually, if I remember correctly. He's in a fair amount as different people.
But yeah, he is not under that own self-imposed rule. But as I say, like, that's their label. Like, even as a different voicing a different character, he is still the guy who voiced Char.
Yeah, everybody goes, "Oh, it's Char." Like, that's it. That's the long and the short.
Yeah. And yet, getting back to my original point, like, despite all this, what it did, the original Gundam anime was canceled. It was canceled. During its run, it was supposed to go... Like, the original story was, they were supposed to go all the way to the enemy base, all the way to the final, like, the final showdown at the final base, but because it got cancelled, they ended it before then, so the final final battle does not take place at Side 3, which is the main headquarters of the base, the bad guys. So, So Gundam, it's kind of hard to talk about without spoiling.
Well,
at this point.
It's kind of funny. Well, like, but yeah, I mean, it's like Star Trek. The original Star Trek was canceled after 3 seasons.
Yes,
it was canceled. That's the long and the short of it, right?
Yep.
But as time went on, it only became more popular.
Yeah,
which is kind of a crazy thing, but it's very very similar in Gundam. It just. It got more and more popular, and they started putting out more and more stuff. And boys, there've been a lot of Gundam.
Oh yes, so much so that there are two schools of Gundam. There is the UC, which is the Universal Century Gundam timeline,
which is the original timeline.
Yeah, there are a bunch of the original Gundam, and there are a bunch of other Gundam series that all fit within that continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the extended universe Gundams, alternate universe Gundams, which all have Gundams. Like, they all have robots. They all follow the same major themes of war.
Mm-hmm.
Different factions. You know, sort of this sort of not racism, but discrimination and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They all cover the main. Topics, the main plot points of the original Gundam series, but they're all in different universes.
Yeah.
There was an attempt to sort of unify everything in the Turn A Gundam.
That's the weird thing about Turn A Gundam. Turn A Gundam is the end. It's the final Gundam story. It's where it all comes together. And it's implied that, like, something happens at some point where all the timelines come together.
Yeah,
all the AU and all Universal Century come together, and after that point, that's where Turn A Gundam takes place.
Yeah.
Because you see things that are very much very clearly from AU and stuff that is very, very clearly from UC Gundam as well.
Yeah.
In the same place. So something happened to like the nature of reality that collided them into a single timeline at some point.
Yeah.
Although we haven't, I don't believe we've ever seen what that is. It's just kind of accepted that happened at some point.
At this point, like, yeah, it's like, I don't think anybody really knows how to write something like that without everybody hating it. So, without pissing off all the fans. So,
yeah.
But the original Gundam, let's stick to the Universal Century for now, the UC Gundam. The original timeline is, and this is an interesting thing, is that the original anime, if you watch it, it doesn't really give you all that much of the backstory.
It's just like, we're in the middle of the one-year war.
It tosses you in medias res right into, like, well, the thing is that at the point of the start of the anime, the war has hit a standstill. And what the whole story is, the whole backstory is that at some point, humanity basically got to the point of technological advancement where they could build space stations and space colonies, entire colonies in space. At specific points where the Lagrange points. And they have, they're all, how many, I forget how many there are. They're like, there's like seven different clusters of colonies.
Yeah.
And they, humanity said, you know, we've come this far. The old, you know, BC, AD, that time is over. This is the new century, you know, new age. This is the universal century. This is the new age. And they adopted the UC timeline. Mm. And the thing is that a lot of the people who went to space, who went to these colonies, a lot of them basically got kicked out of Earth. These were a lot of people who were poor, blue-collar workers, people who basically had to scrape to survive in an environment where stuff does not grow. Like, where they had to, you know, where they're living basically in bubbles. And, you know, you poke a hole in the bubble and everybody dies.
Yeah.
And we're talking, like, space station. We're not talking, like, you know, the ISS, where you've got, like, you know, five, six
people.
Yeah,
these are basically, just imagine city in a tube. That's basically what they are.
It is thousands and thousands, if not millions, of people.
And most of them are relatively self-sufficient when it comes to, like, food and air.
Yeah.
Like they grow enough crops.
Yeah.
And have enough trees and stuff to survive.
But they are still colonies of Earth. And Earth has no longer really has countries. They have the Earth Federation. Earth has become united.
Yeah.
That's one thing that Gundam just kind of gets rid of. Like, you know, don't worry about the all the different nationalities. They do focus on some of it, but, like, you know, different countries and stuff like that. No. Let's sort of make that all into one. That is Earth. Yeah, there's Earth and space, and it becomes a war between the oppressive forces of Earth and the oppressed people of space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one part of it. Another part of it is that at some point there was a revolutionary who espoused this theory that by moving into space, humanity would evolve. Like, humanity still has potential to evolve, and by moving into the term is escaping Earth's gravity.
Yeah,
they will evolve. Humanity will evolve into this new type of human, basically a psychic, because you're using parts of your brain that you were not when you were on Earth. When you were just dealing with up and down.
Yeah, it's very different from having zero-G movement.
Yeah.
And that becoming natural. Yeah.
Yeah. And he dies by... He gets assassinated.
Yeah.
And, well, he had such a huge following that, he had... You know, there was basically a whole bunch of people behind him. You know, they wanted revolution. They wanted freedom from the Earth. And then he got assassinated. And then the Zabi family took his place. They formed His name was Zeon. That was his last name. So they formed the Zeon Dukedom and declared war on Earth.
Yeah, and this, the majority, not isn't it pretty much the majority of the colonies joined with him?
Not all of them. There were a few. There were like two clusters that maintain neutral.
Yeah.
Um, neutral status, but the majority of the space population joined with them, and they declared all-out war on Earth. This was in the space, the Universal Century Age of 79.
Yep.
And what happened was they started using pretty drastic tactics. They started gassing colonies and using them, any colony that wouldn't side with them, they gassed. Like, they filled the thing with gas, killed everybody. And they dropped a colony, one of the space colonies, onto Earth as a giant missile. And as a result, half the population died.
Yeah.
Within the first few months, like in the first 3 months, I think like half the population dies.
Yeah, and because of that, and because of nuclear weapons, don't they ban nuclear weapons?
Yeah. Well, what happens is that Earth is basically, they were taken off guard, because Earth has this huge fleet. They thought they were going to win. Like, this was not this is just a bunch of, like, little insurgents who are just, like, screaming, Viva la Revolution. So they're like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And then they introduced a new weapon, which is the mobile suit, the giant mech. And this is what the magic of Gundam, because this is something that they don't cover in the anime, but at all at first. Like, you do not.
Yeah, it's pretty much just like Zeon has mobile suits.
Earth doesn't. And for some reason Zeon is winning. And if you look at them, like, they're giant robots. There's these giant cumbersome humanoid machines, and all logic, like, if thinking logically, they should not be winning. But the reason they are winning is this magical god particle called the Minovsky particle, which is this sort of supposed byproduct of nuclear fusion, which is this mysterious particle which has no effect but to disrupt electronic signals. Mm-hmm. And what they do is by spreading these particles over a wide area, they can basically kill radar, reduces all battle to within eyesight. So they're reduced to, like, making signals. They use signal flares and stuff like that. Yeah. And, guided missiles that the Earth has, they don't work. Radar does not work. And by using guerrilla tactics, the Zeon forces basically wipe out most of the Earth Federation's fleet.
Yeah.
And then they drop the colony on Earth and say, give up. And during the battle, they capture one of the biggest generals of the Earth Federation, and Zeon basically says, "Give up," and Earth says, "We'll sign a peace treaty where we basically give you everything." And what happens at the last, at the last minute, is that the general escapes, and he gives this rousing speech saying, "Like, I've been there, I've seen them. They do not have the forces they say they have. They are stretched as thin as can be. Zeon cannot hold. They are going to break. Hold out." And so Earth basically sign something called the Antarctic Treaty, where they ban weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, because both sides realize they're facing quite literal extinction of the human race, and they're like, okay. We don't want that. Win or lose, we don't want humanity extinct.
Yeah, no more nukes. No more gassing our colonies. No more throwing colonies at Earth. And there are a bunch of regulations on how prisoners are handled and things like that. Your standard sort of warfare treaties. And the war basically hits a standstill because Zeon is, as the general stated, stretched thin, so they can't really go any further. They've started to invade Earth, but they don't have the manpower to really extend their grasp of the entire planet.
What is it, like Australia?
They get Odessa, which is the Middle East. They get the Middle East, Middle East, parts of Africa. They're beginning to invade America. I think they take North America. The Earth Federation headquarters is in South America. Mm-hmm. And I think they start taking Africa and Beijing. Mm-hmm. And that's when they hit a standstill. And that goes on for several months, the next 3 months are at a complete standstill.
Yeah. And the thing is, just with the mobile, with the lack of mobile, or sorry, with the lack of, like, weapons of mass destruction, mobile suits have become like
the main, yeah,
the main weapon. And the fact of the matter is, Earth,
yeah,
doesn't have any.
Yeah, and so it becomes basically a battle of attrition for both sides, and Earth realizes that like they're not going to win without utilizing this technology that the enemy has. And so these are not spoilers. This is all backstory before the first episode of Gundam. So the first episode of the very first series of Gundam starts when Earth has developed several of their own prototype mobile suits, and they're testing them. And Zeon finds out about this and sets out to destroy them. And that's the start of the anime. That was a 10-minute diatribe.
Yeah.
Just talking about the backstory.
And that's the thing, though. And of course, the Earth side mobile suit is Gundam.
Yeah. It is the original prototype. And if I want to get specific, it is... Yes, I'm a Gundam nerd. If I want to get specific, the original prototype is the RX-78-2, which is... It's the second model. It's not the first. There are actually... In canon, there are three Gundams. Because you don't make a single prototype. You make a few. Because, you know, some might break. You want to make sure... You want to test them out. So... That's what they're for. Yeah, there's the RX-75, which is the gun cannon, the RX-77, RX-75, which is the gun tank, the RX-77, which is the gun cannon, and the RX-78, which is the Gundam. Yeah, do you think I know this too much?
Yeah, just a little.
That was completely off the top of my head. I'm not even looking at anything.
But that's the... And then it's the war. The war and the fallout is all what Universal Century is.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it was always up until then, like the anime, the war anime. Well, not the war anime, but the anime where it's a fight between good and evil. It's always been the good guys fighting the good guys beat the bad guys, hurrah! And the thing with Gundam was that they're both the bad guys.
Yeah, if anything, Zeon certainly has legitimate grievances.
Yeah.
Like, they definitely do. And, Earth also has, legitimate grievances as well. Yeah. But both sides do absolutely horrible things.
Yeah. And the whole thing is that the good guys are the little people caught in it. The people who basically are the collateral damage.
Yeah.
And it's a story about... It's all, and this is something that goes throughout most of the Gundams, although it is sometimes different with some of them, but it's generally about a civilian who gets caught up in it, the whole thing. Not a completely unrelated civilian, but a civilian who gets caught up in the whole thing and ends up having to fight.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, because Gundam is generally rather anti-war.
Yes.
Which is funny, being that it is a series almost entirely about wars.
It is exclusively about war. Like, every single one is about war.
In some form or fashion, absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of the thing, but it's a very anti-war kind of thing. And it's always about kind of the paradox of fighting for peace.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, killing to save lives.
Yeah.
So, and it also deals, as I said, with this sort of the discrimination. The main characters in the Universal Century timeline, there's the thing, as I said, this new thing called a new type, which is an evolved human. And generally, not always, the main character is one such person. They just don't really know it at first.
Hmm.
There comes a point where they are pushed to the limit, wherein they have no choice but to evolve in a way.
Yeah, realize they're... Yeah. Their psychic power, basically.
Yeah. And a new type is described as a psychic, but it's generally someone with... It's better described as someone with extreme empathic abilities, where they can sense what another person is feeling. Yeah. They're like Betazoids, in a way. Going back to Star Trek, they're Betazoids. And... It allows them to they can sense when someone's animosity is directed towards them. When someone wants to kill them, which allows them to respond to that before the person pulls the trigger.
So yeah, it's basically almost precognition.
Yeah,
like they can feel what a person's about to do.
Yeah.
Which would make you a very good pilot, right? Because you always know who is looking at you and whether they're planning to attack you or not.
Yep. Another quality which is attributed to new types is they're supposedly really good at machinery. But I kind of dispute that. I think they have no choice but to be good at machinery because most of them start out living in space.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says, you know, they always say, like, they're instinctively great pilots. Like, all they have to do is, like, get in the cockpit and they know how to pilot. But that's not the case either. So
No, that's not.
Like, quite literally, the very first episode of the very first Gundam is, like, he has the manual with him in the cockpit.
Yeah, the vast majority of new types are usually good pilots before they discover they are new types.
Yeah.
Like, is there any... Like, I can think of new types in some of the alternate universe ones who are not pilots.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there are any in UC.
Yeah. I mean, in UC, they all start out trained in some way in how to pilot something. If it's not a mobile suit, but something related to it.
Yeah, like some kind of spacecraft or something like that.
Yeah. And the UC timeline of Gundam series, because there are a bunch, there is a literal timeline. It starts out, I think, does Igloo come before or after the original?
Well, if you really want to get down to it, Origin is the first.
There we go, right. Yeah, Origin is one that's...
68, I think?
Yeah.
UC-68 to UC-69.
Yep.
Or 79.
Origin is a backstory.
Yeah.
It's about the revolution.
Currently going right now.
Yeah, it is ongoing. It's in movie form.
Yeah, they're doing it like they did Gundam Unicorn.
Yeah. It starts out, Gundam Origin. I think Igloo, some of it happens simultaneously, or either before or during or after the original series. Then there's the original series. Then there's Gundam...
Well, so much happens right there in there, right? 8th MS Team happens during the war. Yep.
There's 8th MS Team. There is 0080, which is like at towards
right
the
after,
end of it.
Yeah, right at the end of the war.
Then there's 83, which is 83 Stardust Memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that is Zeta. And then Double Zeta, which comes right after that.
Yep, Char's Counterattack.
Char's Counterattack. There are some stories in between Char's Counterattack and Double Zeta, but those are mostly in, like, manga form.
Yeah.
And then after Char's Counterattack is it F-91 or Unicorn?
It's Unicorn.
Unicorn. And then there's F-91.
Well, Unicorn's weird, because Unicorn... Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah. Then there's, like, F-91, and then there's Victory.
Yep.
I believe.
Yep.
And then
She's Savior of all things. G-Savior is a live action show.
That was that didn't exist.
People like to believe it doesn't exist, but it's totally canon. So don't forget that G-Savior exists. It is.
Did that get a Hollywood theatrical release?
I don't think it got a I don't think so.
I've seen it, like, I've seen on VHS, but I don't remember anything about that.
It is weird because it's like a lot of foreign actors.
Yeah,
it is. It is quote unquote a Canadian live action television film, but it is still canon. Oh. So you got to remember that.
Oh god, yep.
And deal with it. But like, that's the weird thing is if you like technically that's the end of the Universal Century timeline. That's like 223 is when that takes place. But as we stated before, Turn of Gundam is technically the end, right? And after G-Savior, I think, what is it, Recognista in G?
Oh, right.
It takes place after the Universal Century has ended, but before Turn of Gundam.
Yeah. I think there's also another major series, like, I'm sorry, no, that was in novel form.
Oh.
But, yeah.
But yeah, and so the timeline, like, generally what we call Universal Century goes, usually people will say, into the 0090s.
Yeah.
Because there are two after that, F-91 and Victory. But they're so far after that, it's not really dealing with the war and what happened.
Yeah, there are shades of what has happened before, but it's... I mean, it's mostly just homage hints.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not really. And those two series also have their own issues.
Yeah. It's 0079 to 0096 is usually what people consider Gundam. UC Gundam.
Well, a lot of people consider UC Gundam to be the story of the main protagonist and his rival, Amuro and Char.
So to 93 is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Just to that. And like, and Unicorn is Gundam Unicorn is like an epilogue to that.
Well, it is. That's a fair statement.
Yeah.
As much as I liked Unicorn.
Yeah. But, yeah. And
yeah, so, yeah, that's what it is. It's about evolved humans and space versus Earth, anti-war, and, you know, all the stuff we kind of take for granted now, like the young civilian who becomes, you know, the big warrior.
Who grows into becoming a warrior.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have something like Evangelion without Gundam, right?
No, yeah.
Because Evangelion takes all that, and then immediately, like, what is it? Get in the robot, Shinji. Shinji gets in the robot. Shinji gets his ass kicked. So the exact opposite of what happens in the traditional Gundam formula.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And what would... Okay, so here's an interesting question. What is a Gundam?
It depends on what universe.
Well, okay.
Are you talking UC?
Yeah, in UC, because we're moving the AU a little off to the side.
Okay.
But what is a Gundam?
Isn't it any of the Earthside mobile suits? I'm trying to think.
To be exact, kind of trick question.
Yeah, it's any of the, what is it, experimental generation of mobile suits, right? It's not the mass-produced ones.
Yeah, it's one of the prototypes.
It's always a prototype.
But that was actually a bit of a trick question, because the actual official answer is that it's whatever the creators say is a Gundam.
It stands for General Purpose Utility Non-Discontinuity Augmentation Maneuvering Weapon System. Yeah. Gundam.
Ray for acronyms. Yeah. But the Gundams are essentially prototypes. Pre-mass production prototypes.
And on the Earth side.
Yeah.
Like, Zeon does not make Gundams.
Yeah.
They have their own weapons, they have their own that go toe-to-toe with Gundams.
Yeah.
But they never make them. They steal them, but they never make them.
Yeah. And in a way, like, what a Gundam is also partially defined within the story. It's like, because part of the mythos of a Gundam comes from the enemy's side as well, like their reaction to it.
Yeah,
because the Gundam always carries with it this sort of atmosphere, this sort of.
It eventually gains mystique.
Yeah, thank you. That was kind of what I was looking for. Yeah, so. And this is an interesting thing, again, going on, I said chronologically, you know, the time in which the series take place, but the release series, anyone who's going into this needs to know that the release dates are different.
From chronological?
There was the original Gundam series, after that came, there was the original TV series. Then it was popular enough that they made three movies, which were basically abridged versions of the TV series.
And they're so much better than the TV series, honestly. Yes. Like, the TV series dragged very much on purpose.
Yeah.
Movies didn't have to drag suddenly a lot better.
Yeah. And, yeah, the movie, there are the three movies which cut out all the fat, they cut out all the, like, yeah, there's, like, as I said earlier, there are three Gundams. There's the first, the main one that it goes throughout the series is actually the second one. The third one actually shows up in the TV series, but they got rid of that. Things like that. So there were three movies. After that, they released Zeta Gundam, and then Double Zeta Gundam. That was one where there were two series that they were separate in all but in only name. Like, all, you know, there was the same series in everything but name.
Yeah, same characters, same.
Yeah, it's there's the same mobile suits, everything. The story ends at Zeta Gundam. It immediately starts at Double Zeta Gundam.
Yeah,
because like at end of Zeta Gundam, there's a huge battle, you see the aftermath, and then Double Zeta Gundam is them recovering from the aftermath. It's immediately after that, so... and then after that, they released Char's Counterattack.
Which was pretty much the end.
Yeah, which was basically them putting a period to the whole rivalry between the two who are the two essential protagonists throughout the entire series, even though they're not the protagonists of Zeta or Double Zeta. They do show up, yes. Actually, they show up in Zeta. They do not show up in Double Zeta.
Oh, they don't? Okay.
No. At the end of... Spoilers, I'm sorry, but at the end of Double Zeta, Char is considered missing.
Yeah, unquote.
Yeah. So there was Char's Counterattack, which was a movie, a full-length movie, and which was basically a period, an end period to the whole Universal Century Gundam series. But... you know, a series that popular does not die.
Yeah, so then they started going back and doing all the...
and exploring.
Yeah, exploring different places in the war. Different fronts.
Different gaps,
yeah.
And so what came out next was Gundam 0080, The War in the Pocket.
That's probably the best of the Universal Century, in my opinion.
It is a fascinating story, honestly.
Yeah, because it's very much unlike... any of the other Gundam things.
It completely breaks the template of all of them.
Yeah, it's literally just about these kids on a neutral colony.
Yeah.
And how one of them discovers an enemy, a Zeon pilot, and kind of forces him way into them, like befriends them.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, he finds out that his childhood friend is actually the pilot of a Gundam.
Yeah.
And it's also very... Boy, is it not happy.
No. And the really interesting thing about it is that unlike all the other ones... Gundam is partially produced by Bandai. Like, they are one of the sponsors of it.
Yep. Bandai Sunrise.
Yeah. But Bandai is a huge toy conglomerate as well.
Yeah.
And they like them toys. They like selling them toys. So... and... Gundam models, also known as Gunpla in Japan, are a huge market.
Oh yeah, no.
And that is one of the reasons why, invariably, in any Gundam series, the main Gundam mech will have different variations within the series.
Yeah.
They'll, like, change their weaponry up or something. That's so they can sell more toys. Different variation toys or different variation models.
Granted, it usually makes a lot of damn sense in the series.
Oh, yeah. No, they make sure that it makes sense that it happens.
Yeah.
But behind that is also the thinking that we can sell more toys this way.
Sure.
And, you know, you can't really escape that corporate sponsor thing. And also an interesting side note is Bandai... also, in the early 90s, they received a proposal for a brand new anime series, which they turned down. It was this anime series by this company called Gainax, about a little boy who rides this giant robot created by his father.
Yeah.
They turned that down.
Yeah, that was a fun story. What people may not understand, and I think we've touched on this before on the podcast, is anime are very, very, very rarely canceled.
Yep.
Like, it's pretty impossible.
Yeah.
The idea that the original Gundam was canceled, that's kind of crazy. They never really do that. They pretty much, you have your set run. If your set run fails, sucks to be you. But that's it. And if your set run is good enough, maybe we'll discuss making a second series later down the line. That's about all you're going to get out of it. But, you know, Gundam's had two canceled. It wasn't just the original. It was also Gundam X.
Yep.
Because guess what Gundam X aired against?
Someone about a boy whose
dad makes him a giant robot.
It was by some company named Gainax. What do you know?
Yes. Might actually be the same show.
Wow. Yeah.
Evangelion kind of destroyed Gundam for a while.
Yeah, Bandai dropped the ball with Evangelion. Yeah. So, but, but again, as we were saying, corporate sponsors help sell toys, and Gundam War in the 0080 War in the Pocket is a kind of an oddball in that they're not that many mobile suits.
No. It's not going to sell you toys. You're not going to come out.
There's I think all together there's one, two, three, four...
If that...
Maybe five.
Yeah.
Like, five, okay.
And most, because most of it's just mass production models. Like, yeah, that's kind of the point.
Yeah. There's only two that are actually could be considered, like, prototype, you know.
It's brutal, real. Too.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, that's a brutal show. Because it's basically just, like, if you want to get down to it, like, 0080, what makes it so great is it's literally about this boy who goes from the idea of, oh, man, giant robots are cool, I want to see a battle up close, to, oh, my God, lots of people just didn't die.
I saw a battle up close.
Yeah, and yeah. You get, well, because it gets to the point, like, you get to see the change in, like, some of his friends later on, are like, oh, wow, a giant battle, this is so cool, and he's like, oh, man, I know the people that are fighting in this battle and who are dying. They're my friends, and I'm watching them die horribly.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it's a heartbreaking one. It's basically, in war, no one wins.
Yeah. It's
isn't it set, like, in the closing days of the war?
Yeah.
Like, they're just off to the side so far. They don't really know that the war's basically done.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that, like, they find out, like, pretty much after everything happens that, no, everything's over now.
Yeah, we didn't need to fight. We didn't need to kill these people that we knew and liked.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting in that, I mean, as I said earlier, it's kind of hard to avoid spoilers. But the main story of 0080 is about they've created a new prototype Gundam, which is engineered specifically for the main character of the original Gundam series, Amuro. Yeah. Because he's become a new type, and the thing is that his reflexes have become so fast that the machine can't keep up with him anymore. He's already doing the next thing.
He's limited by the machine. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, the original Gundam, it starts out that, like, he's piling a super weapon that is so amazing, and in the end, he is the super weapon. He is more powerful than the machine he's piloting. And so Gundam 0080 War in the Pocket is about them. They've made a new machine specifically designed for him. And they're testing it out, and they want to ship it to him. And Zeon finds out about this, and they want to stop it. And it's basically what happened, that whole conflict.
Yeah, and it's being developed on a neutral colony.
Yeah.
Which is just not smart.
No. Yeah. And if anything, the series shows is that, like, if you're neutral, you're either not gonna stay that way, otherwise things are gonna end up bad. Like, you're gonna either pick a side, or
it's gonna turn out bad for you.
Yeah. So, but after 0080 was kind of an interesting one, F91, which was originally slated to be a TV series.
Yeah.
But I've heard the story, but I don't remember it anymore. But something happened, and basically they cut it short, and they'd produced, like, several episodes already, but they said, all right, this is going to be a movie. Like, yeah, just, like, finish it off. This is going to be a movie.
It's not half bad. It's just, you can very, very much tell, like, this should have been a full series. Like,
yeah, you can see, like, early on.
Because,
like,
characters switch sides, make dramatic changes to themselves, and you're like, oh, I get it. That was supposed to be something that took place, like, built up to for, like, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And instead, we have to, like, you know, just cut it down to, like, oh, no, this happened.
Yeah. And it's an interesting one, and also that it introduces the concept of drones.
Yeah, but it's so far after, though. Like, it's...
Well, no, it's very late in the series. But
yeah,
it's the second
latest in the series. Yeah. It's almost 50 years after.
Well, chronologically within the timeline,
the timeline, yeah.
But, like, in terms of release, like, this was released in 1991, and they brought up the concept of drones, drone warfare.
Yeah.
That was a big part of it. And it's one that didn't really receive a lot of love in its initial release because it kind of got truncated and stuff like that.
And it wasn't about the war, right? It wasn't because up until that point, that's what Gundam had been about, right? Yeah. It had been about the 1 year war or the fallout from the 1 year war.
Yeah,
and
that's
once
what people
you're 50 years
see.
Away, it's, you know, that's the problem.
And, over the years, it's gotten its you know, its core fan base. It's got devoted fans who love it, and I'm one of them. And after F91, they released Gundam 0083, Stardust Memory. This is when they dived into the area between the original Gundam and the sequel series, Zeta Gundam.
Yeah.
And in Zeta Gundam, it starts out where, basically, at the end of Gundam, Zeon has lost. They lose the war. And at the start of Zeta Gundam, there's this new faction within the Earth Federation called the Titans. There's a special, there's special forces, which are, their purpose is to keep the peace within the colonies. And they're basically a dictatorship within the colonies. Like, it's before the space colonies, it's basically Zeon has been replaced by the Titans.
Yeah.
And Gundam 0083 is the story of why the Titans were formed, what happens to make to lead to that. It is quite possibly my favorite of all the Gundams. In that, one, the main character is not a new type.
Yeah.
In fact, this is the only series within the Universal Century, I think, where there are no new types. Oh, I'm sorry, 0080 does also doesn't have any. But
I don't. Yeah, and I don't think 8MS team does either. Nobody's a new type in that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. No, 8MS team does not either.
Yeah. But it's but again, it's not the main series ones, the ones that were like hardcore main series. Yeah, this one is one of the first where it's not all about new types all the time.
Yeah. And whereas, like, Gundam 0080, where the main character is a small boy, the other characters are, like, a test pilot, and
just
rookie,
a rookie yeah, grunt.
A rookie grunt, who basically got kicked to the wrong, he got kicked to a suicide mission
yeah. Yeah, he did.
He got kicked to, you know, he...
And then he was the only survivor.
Yeah. And so there wasn't really room in, there isn't really room in that story for new types, but this, so I mean, in a way, 0083, like, they are full-fledged pilots, but there are no new types within the story, which is one thing I really enjoy. It also, it explores a lot of the stuff. It talks about tactical nukes, it talks about, like, weapons of mass destruction. It also deals with sort of factions within the Earth Federation itself, fragments, extremists, and it also has one of the most charismatic antagonists, one of my favorite characters, I think quite possibly my favorite character of all the Gundam, which is Gato, Annabelle Gato, who is voiced by one of my favorite voice actors, Akio Otsuka.
Yes, good old Otsuka.
Yeah, voice actor for Solid Snake, for those who don't know, in Japan. And then after that, they re-released Gundam 0083, which was a 13 episode series, and then they re-released that as a movie, as sort of abridged movie.
Yeah.
And after that, they released a new TV series, which was Victory Gundam.
Yeah, which takes is another place, one that's way in the freaking future.
Yeah. Does that one take place simultaneously or after F91? A little after.
Okay, like 20 years after.
Yeah. They released a Victory Gundam. And that's one which has its own issues. I have not seen
again,
much.
Again, goes to the very young pilot.
Yeah. It, like, the pilots kept kind of getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, another thing is, for those who do know, like, who are a little bit familiar with the Gundam series, is that supposedly the main character of Victory Gundam is the descendant of Char. He is, like, he has brown hair, much like Char's mistress in Char's Counterattack. And supposedly he's, like, he carries the blood of Char, but that's just a side note. And after that, in the UC universe, they released in, after Victory Gundam, which was not very popular,
they went AU.
Yeah, they basically said, okay, the UC thing is not working for us right now. Like, we can't go further beyond, we don't really got that many ideas for before, or during, let's just go on, you know, go off on the side, and they went into the AU, the alternate universe. Yeah, yeah. But and they came out with G Gundam, and then Gundam Wing, and then after that is when they came out with 008,
yeah, MST, or the 8th MS team, yeah,
8th MS team, which is a 12 episode OVA.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm gonna commit blasphemy and say, which is not my favorite.
A lot of people really like it because it's not about new types. It's about just a grunt unit.
Yeah.
In the ass end of nowhere with their mobile suits.
Yeah. Well, and on the front lines of the ass end of nowhere. Like, there are a bunch of people on Earth.
Yeah.
And they're in Africa, I think it is.
Yeah, that sounds and they're right. It's also got this Romeo-Juliet love story.
Yeah. Which is one thing I really didn't... Like, the Gundam stories, they always do have romance in them. But, like, for me, personally, having the romance between... Because it's 8th MS team focuses on coming to an understanding between, like, he's from the Earth Federation, she's from Zeon, and yet they manage to fall in love.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And I find that less compelling than a friendship. That's just me. Like, my way of thought is, like, I find a romance story less compelling, like, between, you know, people from different sides, less compelling than a friendship. Like, people who come to a friendship understanding between different sides. But that's
so
just my opinion.
Gundam Seed. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, after the 808, that one takes place during the early episodes of the original Gundam.
Yeah, like they have their mass production Gundams. But that's about it.
Yeah. And they don't have a lot of them.
No,
also,
no.
Like, they, towards the end, like, they have to basically lobotomize and, like, Frankenstein's monster a new one out of spare parts. Because they just don't have... These things are... They're better than your standard mobile suit, but they're also very specialized.
Yeah.
So, they're like the German Tiger tanks, if anything.
Yeah.
They're really good. Not a lot, like... You need kind of special parts, and, you know, you're kind of short on engineers. So, then after that, there was released Gundam X, and then the ill-fated Gundam X, which only had 39 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad show. Actually one of... Well, I'm sure eventually, when we get to the second part, which is AU stuff, we'll talk about it. But I actually rather like the setting and story of Gundam X.
Yeah.
Unfortunately... When you put something like that up against Evangelion.
Yeah. Well, it also suffered twofold in that Gundam Wing, which came before it, appealed to the female audience.
Yeah.
And brought in a lot of, because it featured, Gundam Wing features, you know, Gundam Wings, most people probably have heard of it or seen it because it was featured.
Five Pretty Boy Pilots. That's what we're
going to it talk. Was on TV in the States, on Toonami, in the late 90s. So, you know, But if you've seen it, it's got five pretty boys, pilots, and Gundam X. While you could say the main character is a pretty boy,
it's not even close to the same. Yeah, it's a very, very different show.
Yeah, it is not, and it's not specifically geared towards women, whereas Wing specifically was. So it kind of suffered from that, and for going up against Evangelion. Bad call, bad call, Bandai. And then after Gundam X, they released the after story.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Endless Waltz is after.
Yeah, they released Endless Waltz, the sort of epilogue to that. And then after that, they re-released Endless Waltz in a special edition in 1998, along with 8th MS Team Miller's Report, which is a sort of
it's a side story / epilogue.
Yeah, within
/ compilation.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like it's weird. It's a weird thing, but you'll probably like it if you like 8th MS Team.
Yeah,
because it just adds it adds just a little bit to it, and you're like, oh, cool. And that's about it, right?
Yeah, it was. I think they released both movies at the same time, so they're not full length individually. Are they? How long are they?
Endless Waltz?
Yeah.
It was an OVA first, so it's basically the same length.
It's a three episode OVA, which is about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And Miller's Report is about that long too. So like they're both individually about an hour and a half each, and they released them together.
Yeah.
And after that, the new series Turn A Gundam started in 1999.
As we said, that's the very end of all Gundams.
Yeah.
All Gundam leads towards Turn A Gundam.
Yeah.
Eventually. So you get really weird stuff.
Yeah, it kind of goes weird. The design, also the thing was that the design for the Turian Gundam itself. Who was that? Do you remember who they had designed the Gundam?
No, but it doesn't look anything like a normal.
Yeah, it was a fairly famous designer, and that was actually one of the big. Big points of it was like, you know, we got this designer to design the Gundam. This is his Gundam. And the thing was that it was so different from previous Gundams. I mean, even designs, like, the Gundams generally have this basic design where you've got two eyes, you've got this antenna.
Yeah.
You know, it's got this vents on the face and things like that. That's the very basic design that goes through pretty much all of them. And the Turn A Gundam was very different. Like, the antenna was on its face instead of on its forehead.
Yeah, yeah. So it looked like it had a mustache almost.
Yeah. And the way it was designed, like, its arms and legs don't... Like, it's kind of almost this organic kind of...
It's very strange. It's,
yeah.
It's and that's the thing. It's way super far in the future.
Yeah. It's this is when, like, they're digging up.
Dig up old Gundams over the course of the show.
Yeah.
It's just it's. In retrospect, like, I don't think I've seen all of it. I've seen only a few episodes of Turn a Gundam.
Yeah.
But from people that I know that have watched all of it several times, they seem to. Most people seem to enjoy it. It's just very odd.
Yeah, it's also hard to get into because likewise, I saw up until the episode where, like, the main character is forced to cross-dress, and I was just like, I don't know where you're going, and I think I kind of fell off after that. But
and then G Savior, right?
Yeah,
G Savior, man.
Oh God, yeah.
I think if you can watch it. It's terrible.
Oh
it's
God,
fantastic.
Yeah.
You should definitely go. Oh man. They made this.
Yeah,
people made this. They paid money.
Not even in a good, terrible kind of way.
No, just did bad.
Yeah. And then they re-released Turn A Gundam in two movies.
They keep doing that. They pretty much do that with every one of them.
Well, every popular series.
Yes. Yeah, they do their best to. But they're just compilation movies.
Yeah.
There's rarely new stuff added in beyond, like, maybe 2-3 minutes of new footage.
Yeah. And then after that, they released Gundam Seed, the new series, which was really a revitalization of the entire series.
Yeah.
Like, the entire, if you could call it a genre, the entire Gundam genre.
Yeah, no, it was pretty dead after Turn of Gundam.
Yeah.
Not to say anything about the quality of Turn of Gundam.
No.
It needed something, and that something is Seed. And boy, we'll talk about Seed at some point.
Yeah, that one was, honestly, it was a good... It took all what was good of the original, because it focuses heavily on the original Gundam and Zeta Gundam.
Yeah.
It focuses heavily on those and takes everything that's good about them and gels them back together into this new story.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really what it is. It's like if you have seen a lot of UC Gundam and you watch Gundam Seed, you'll go, oh, wait, didn't that exactly happen in Zeta Gundam? And they're like, yes, it did. Yeah. Because that's what it is. Gundam Seed is we're going to reimagine Gundam for a new generation. Yeah. If you want a Western example, it's a lot like original Battlestar Galactica and reimagined Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, very much.
You're going to see a lot of things that are pretty much the same, you know?
Yeah.
But, at the same time...
Better.
Yeah, better redone, where basically they took everything that worked and said, all right, if we take only the stuff that worked and put it together...
Yeah,
maybe it'll work. And guess what?
It was also it was also another series that focused on giving the female fan base what they wanted.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like the
it was yeah Gundam yeah, Seed
two
was,
good male characters.
Yep.
Actually, more than that, there were many male. There isn't really a main female character for a while. If you get down to it.
So
and by the end, there's what two technically two main female characters.
Yeah. Let me think. Yeah, well, they're...
You could argue three.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Well, you might be able to argue five, actually, but...
Depending, yeah.
But it depends on what you mean by main character, but... Yeah.
And then after that, after Gundam Seed, which we'll get to, they released Gundam MS Igloo, which was... These are basically shorts
Just little... Weren't they all...
CG, yes.
They're all CG and they're all from Zeon's side? Or just some of them from Zeon's side? I've seen were Zeon's side.
That's I believe they're mostly Zeon's side. I haven't seen all of them. But they also focus on different, like, variations of pre-existing mobile suits. Different models, sort of upgrades, things like that. Sort of explorations into it.
I remember a couple years... I say a couple years, probably like 10 years back at this point, mm-hmm. there was some kind of Gundam museum or exhibit that I went to here in Tokyo, and they were playing, you know, brand new episodes of Igloo, and I watched it, and I was just like, nope. Sorry, nope.
Yep.
Like, it did nothing to excite me. I was just like, oh, okay.
One group they really do excite is the military fans in Japan, because it focuses heavily on the sort of military sort of technology side, sort of the grease and the machine oil side of it, which really appealed to a lot of fans. And then after that, they released Gundam Seed Destiny. Another one we'll get into.
Yeah, there's not a lot good to say about that one.
Yeah, well, I will say this. Over 10 years ago, they announced there would be a Gundam Seed movie. There has not been a Gundam Seed
movie. But that's not because of Destiny.
Not entirely.
No, it's because the writer got cancer. The main writer of Gundam Seed and Gundam Seed Destiny, she got cancer and has been battling it ever since.
Another thing is that she was, it really, the writer was, and her husband, who was the director, were really unpopular in Destiny because they were doing stuff. Anyways, I will get to that later. Get to that later.
That's a whole big sad story.
That's a huge can of worms. After that, they went back to, because, as we said, Sunrise. They go to compilations. So they re-released Zeta Gundam in 3 movies.
Even though it was, like, what, 20 years old at that point?
I believe so. Well, it was released in 2005, and the original Zeta Gundam was 85 to 86. So, the 20-year anniversary.
I mean, they cleaned it up. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you look at the comparisons, like, it wasn't, like, zero work done on
no,
that.
No,
one.
Oh, no. They.
But, yeah.
It is, you know, it is really nice. And they... one of the problem was, though, was that they changed... Like, with the original, when they re-released... the original and movie in 3 movies, some of the voice actors were changed. Some were because the guys died, some were for other political reasons or whatnot, but for Zeta Gundam, the voice actress for one of the main heroines was changed, and people were not happy about that. It seemed like a political move in a lot of ways. I heard about, apparently they announced it right after she got contracted for a different job. So she couldn't.
Take it.
Yeah. Even if she wanted to, she couldn't. And so, the voice actress for one of the characters, one of the main characters, one of the fan favorite characters was changed. And the fans were not happy with that. For one thing, as we're saying, because they went back and, you know, fixed up and cleaned up a lot of it. The original series, the original Zeta Gundam is from 1985, and the animation quality does show. It's not, if you're used to, as we've said in a different podcast, if you're used to, you know, the really pristine sort of computer, you know, cleaned up type that
animation
you're seeing
these days,
then you may have trouble getting into the original and Zeta and Double Zeta. But if you have trouble with that, the movies are definitely, and also if you don't have the time for a 40-something episode series, Zeta Gundam, it was 50 episodes or something like that.
Yeah.
So, 3 movies, they get it all. So, after that, they released another Igloo.
Oh, Stargazer.
And then Stargazer, and then they went to Gundam 00, the first season and then the second season. Yeah, thank you for that.
Gundam 00 is probably the only one I quit hard turkey.
Wow.
Turn of Gundam, I just think I stopped watching, and it was never, I guess I thought I would continue.
Yeah.
No, 00 was very much when I was just like, this is the dumbest crap I have ever seen.
It's kind of
done.
It is, yeah, it was such a shame for me too, because the director...
And I hear second season of it, I hear great things about. Mm-hmm. But the first was so bad, turned me off so much, I was like, nope, out.
Yeah.
Out. I never want to watch this again. I couldn't believe that I had watched it.
Oh, wow.
Like, I was just like, this...
Well, the reason I stuck out for the first season was pretty much rewarded with the second season, because I like the director Yosuke Kuroda. Mm-hmm. He's the mind behind my favorite anime, which is Infinite Revias, which is the only reason why I stuck to the first season, because I figured he had an endgame.
Yeah, well, because basically, look at it this way: if Gundam Seed is Gundam redone,
yeah,
then 00 is Gundam Wing redone.
Yes,
that's
very much
basically what they are.
Yeah.
And I'm actually okay with that as a concept. I just, there's a lot of stuff that, I was just
plot points and
plot points that just made no sense. I get annoyed when things are contrived.
Yeah,
when
I can
things
see that,
happen
yeah.
when like things don't happen logically. Characters don't act like they would if they were people.
Yeah.
They act like they're following a roadmap designed by a director.
Yeah.
They're chess pieces, not characters.
Yeah.
That annoys me. But, so, yeah.
One thing I will give it is that it does introduce a lot of interesting concept. It's another series that has great concepts, but kind of fails on the execution.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then after that, there was another Igloo.
I don't know anything about that one.
Yeah, neither do I. And then they started with Gundam Unicorn. So...
Yeah,
and,
which went for several years.
Yep. It was released as movies, and it's, because up until Unicorn, 0083 was my favorite of all of them. Of all the Gundam series, 0083 was my favorite. And then Unicorn pretty much pushed it out of the way.
Unicorn's really good.
Yeah.
And like, the fact that it's an epilogue is...
Yeah.
Unicorn has an impossible job.
Yeah.
And its job is... How did we get from Char's counterattack to Victory Gundam?
Yeah.
And F-91. How did we get to such a ridiculously different society that we see in those, which are only 50 years away?
Yeah.
And you know, when you think about that, I mean, America 50 years ago isn't so different from America today. The only real huge difference is the internet and what has come from it.
Yes.
You know, smartphones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's the big difference between them. But honestly, basically, society is the same.
Yeah. There has been,
so when you see something so dramatically different.
Yeah.
I
would say that America has progressed in its racial discrimination areas within the past 50 years. The thing is that I would like to say that, if you can see these quotey fingers I'm using.
And I'm sure it has in some ways.
It definitely has, but in other ways it's still the same as we have seen.
Yeah.
Let's not talk politics.
But it did manage to. But
yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, Unicorn did do a very good job of showing something that was such a dramatic event in like the history of the Universal Century timeline.
Yeah,
it makes sense that you would have very, very, very different geopolitical ideals going forth.
Yeah. And it also, I mean, even from its very, it starts out where they're, it's basically a treasure hunt for some mythical thing which is supposed to be able to destroy the Earth Federation. It's the magic MacGuffin. Like, what is this thing?
Yeah. Hey, it lived up to it.
Yeah. It pulls it off,
and it
makes sense. And it is also a very modern Gundam.
Yeah.
It is a very Heisei era Gundam, as opposed to everything before Char Scatter Attack, which is pretty much a very much Showa Gundam.
Yeah. Those are the ages.
Yeah.
The generational ages.
Generational ages in Japan, but. It's whereas, for example, in like episode 4, where the main character doesn't want to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
In the Showa era, he would have pulled the trigger.
Yeah, he just would have shot the guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Whereas in the Heisei, you know, he fights against it. So he decides, you know, he says definitively, I will not shoot. So.
Yeah, and then we moved on to, what, Gundam Age. Then we moved into this very interesting era, actually, with Unicorn.
Yeah.
Which is where they made adult Gundams and kid Gundams. They didn't try for both in one series. No. They aren't targeting kids with Unicorn. They're targeting us and people older than us.
Yeah.
So people in their 40s, 50s, 60s.
Well, people who grew up with
Gundam. Yeah, exactly. People who grew up with Gundam. Yeah. They now get their own series, which were Gundam Unicorn and now Gundam Origin.
Yeah.
And then we have the very, very specifically aimed at kids Gundams. And the first one of those was Gundam Age.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting show. I haven't watched very much of it.
It's hard. Like, a lot of people have said it's not a Gundam show. It's a Gundam model show. Which I can kind of see that.
Well, like,
it's a Gundam show, but
That's true with Build Fighters. But like Gundam Age is an interesting one because Gundam Age is just this three generational show.
Right. I'm sorry.
Like, you were thinking of Build Fighters.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking of the wrong series. Yeah.
Yeah. Gundam Age is three generations story, and it's father-son for all three, and each one of them at one point becomes the pilot of a Gundam.
Yeah.
And I don't know much more about it, but it, you know, very young kid piloting Gundam, you know, and it's like 10, 11, 12 years old. Like, we're talking young kid piloting Gundam.
And I think because it was targeted towards the new younger generation, the older generation was very much not happy with it.
Yeah, well, and it was more like, oh, we have ours, it's called Unicorn. Yeah. They have theirs, it's called Gundam Age.
Yeah. But, like, the people who were the people who went into it, of the older generation, who saw Age, were immediately turned off. They're like, you know, because I can kind of see that in an expectation way. Like, we just got Gundam Unicorn, we just got, you know, this great story. What are they going to do next? And then to realize that, no, you're not the target audience.
Yeah, this isn't for you.
This isn't for you.
Very clearly, this is not for you. This is for kids. And that's fine. Like, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of things that both kids and adults can enjoy and do enjoy. Especially more and more these days with things like Steven Universe. That's the one that always pops out in my head. Or SpongeBob before that. Tons of adults love SpongeBob. I'm not one of them, but fair enough.
Yeah.
But Gundam Age was very, very clearly a concerted effort to go for the kids.
Yeah.
That it was like, our audience is aging. They're not buying crap because they're aging.
Yep.
So we'll give them their own much lower budget thing that funds itself, which was Gundam Unicorn. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go for the money with Gundam Age.
Yeah.
And then they doubled down on that, and that was the next one, Gundam Build Fighters.
Yeah. And Gundam Build Fighters, interestingly enough, though, Gundam Build Fighters was accepted by the older generation much more than Gundam Age was.
Yeah, people seem to like that one and its sequel, Gundam Build Fighters Try.
It's kind of a meta thing in that not only is that, like, it is, you know, it's a story about kids fighting with models, but
you buy the model kit, and based on how well you build the model kit is how powerful your Gundam is in a simulator.
Yeah.
And then you simulate fight.
Yeah. And, you know, as I said earlier, that with, you know, how Gundam models is its own industry, you know, there are a lot of, you know, most I would say of the Gundam fans were model builders, if not actively at some point.
Yeah.
Like, they either bought or built or saw or, you know, adored Gundam models.
And I gotta say, I'm too cynical to give it a chance. Like, I looked at that and I was like, you're trying to sell me models.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that you could tell a good story with this.
Yeah.
But I'm insulted by your premise.
and it's not just models, it's variations of pre-existing models.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that's the other way they try to get you back in, is like, oh, this guy uses a mix of, like, Freedom Gundam and Destiny Gundam.
Yeah.
We call it Freedom Destiny Gundam. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but no. I'm sure it's, again, I'm not saying that it's a bad show. I have seen none of it, but the very premise turned me off.
I can understand that. I haven't seen it either, so I cannot say one way about it. But yeah, I likewise kind of saw that within it. I was just like, I appreciate what you're doing. But I can't get on this, you know, bandwagon.
Yeah.
But again, like, friends on my Twitter feed, every week when that time came, the Twitter feed suddenly started getting active. So yeah, it had its audience. People loved it.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people.
I mean, it warranted a sequel series, so.
Yeah, and I hear the sequel's even better, so. Yeah. Good for people who like it.
Yep. And then after that, we've got.
We went back to Universal Century.
Yep.
With Recognista NG.
Yep.
That's a weird show.
Yeah, that was.
Did you finish that one?
No, I wasn't able to.
I didn't finish it either. I got about halfway.
That was unforgiving in that. It was kind of like the original where, as I said, as describing the original, it's like it starts in medias res and they don't really give you the backstory. That's what you have to get for yourself. And, you know, I don't think they describe what the Minovsky's particles really do in the movies at all. Like, yeah. They may have in the original TV series, which I've only seen a few episodes of, but... Like, the Minovsky particles, what it does. Like, they talk about release the Minovsky particles, and, like, why? And it doesn't really tell you why they're doing that, what they are. It doesn't give you that backstory. It doesn't explain why they have to use mobile suits and stuff like that. So, and Reconquista is kind of like that, too, where it just does not give you a lot of stuff. Like, it has characters using these slurs. Like, they're supposed to be racial, you know, racist, discriminatory slurs, but you don't really get it because you don't really get the background of them. Things like that. So that was one that was kind of hard to get into. It was actually, by the same director, though, the same creator, director Tomino, who was the mind behind the original Gundam, Zeta Gundam, Double Zeta Gundam, F-91, he was behind Char's Counterattack.
Yeah, he's basically the big guy.
Yeah, he was the godfather of Gundam. And he came back for Reconquista, and some people have said that perhaps he's gotten too old, a little out of the game now.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to think about it. Like, it's not one that I was like, no, I'm done with this. It was one where I was like, oh, I'll get back to this, and then I never got back to it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of heartbreaking. I really kind of hate that when that happens.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because there's been more than a few good things that I would like to go back and finish, but it's been so long now, I'd have to start over.
Yeah.
And then we had Try. Then we had Build Fighters Try, which is, again...
Yep. Which was
buy your bottle kits.
Yeah, the second series of Gundam Build Fighters. And then...
It's basically... You know what it is? It's turning Gundam into a sports anime.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I don't think that's bad. I'm just kind of... I get why it would be popular.
Yeah. Well, it follows that sort of Pokemon... You know...
I'm going to build the best one.
Yeah. Battle, you know, cockfighting except with models. So, yeah, Build Letters Try. And then after that...
Origins started.
Yep, Origins started the movie series. I've only seen the first one. It's basically, as we said, it's the story before the build-up to the original first Gundam story. But it's also focuses on the main antagonist, Char, and how he became who he became.
Right, which is one of the key facts of like why Gundam was so popular is because the bad guy, the antagonist, was, I would say, is more popular than the hero.
Yeah. He was charismatic, he was interesting, he had... His backstory was pretty fascinating. And it wasn't... And another thing about his backstory, while it was pretty fascinating, it's not entirely improbable either. You can kind of see how it happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean... As I said, I've only seen the first origin, but I already know the backstory. Like, I know his whole thing.
Yeah, it's just you're showing what we learned.
Yeah,
and that's fine. There's very good things like that, like Crisis Core for Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
you know that story. You know what's going to happen. Doesn't make it any less good.
No.
But I haven't watched any of Origin yet. Like with Unicorn, I plan to wait until it's completely released. well, it, and then it, do it at once.
It the first well, what I saw kind of suffers from the fact that they don't have mobile suits. Like it's a Gundam story
where mobile suits have not yet been invented.
Yeah, have not been. Their mobile suits are not the weapon of choice. Like they have at best like giant tanks.
Yeah,
and that's all. So it's kind of, initially it's kind of a hard sell, but it does. I mean, it does. I've posted a review on Kotaku. It does have shine in a lot of areas. It has great characters, characters you would not expect, like and especially like the female characters are amazing. So, but yeah, and that is still ongoing. They've released the third episode.
No, it's about to come out.
Oh, okay, just about okay. And then after that, we got
Iron Blooded Orphans.
Yep, the latest one, which just ended.
Yep, I watched that whole thing.
Yep,
it's
another AU.
AU, and it's okay.
Yeah,
and it's getting it was pretty obvious as I was watching that. Yes, this is only the first half that they were going to have a second season planned. And lo and behold, that's true. So.
Yeah.
That's coming.
So, yeah, and that's where we are.
No, yeah. Thunderbolts.
Oh, right, yes, Thunderbolts.
I haven't watched any of Thunderbolt.
But correct.
It is coming out. It's an online-only series.
Yeah, that's right. And Thunderbolt focuses on... It goes back
to... It is
to,
UC, right?
Yeah. Yes, Thunderbolt is very specifically UC. It focuses on two characters, I believe, if memory serves... who were basically ace pilots during the during the original war, which was known as the 1 year war because it took place, like the entire war took over the span of 1 year. It started and ended within a year. But it's two ace pilots. I think one of them is Johnny Ryden, who like sadly suffered from a stigma where his favorite color, because ace pilots got to color their mobile suits, their own favorite color, was red.
Hmm.
Which kind of overlapped with somebody else. Who do you think it was?
Char.
Yeah.
Because that's what Char's mobile suit was.
Yeah.
And he's the big bad, so.
Yeah. Johnny Ryden was the Crimson Lightning Bolt, I believe. But I believe the story focuses on him and another pilot, but...
Yeah, I haven't watched any of it yet, but every once in a while a new episode appears.
Yep. So that is where we are with Gundam up to this point.
Yep. Touched mostly on the UC stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, like if you want a good taste of the UC stuff, the thing is that I would suggest watching the three movies. Like you don't have to watch the TV series of the original. Like watch the first three movies of Mobile Suit Gundam, and then I would suggest watching the Zeta movies. Double Zeta, people don't talk about.
Yeah, Double Zeta, like you'll notice that Gundam Zeta, like a lot of people liked Zeta.
Yeah.
Nobody liked Double Zeta. Kind of same thing with Gundam and Gundam Seed and Gundam Seed Destiny.
Yeah.
Well, nobody talks about that second part.
Yeah. But Double Zeta was the thing is that they soured the milk in the very first few episodes in that. Zeta Gundam ends very, very serious. Like we say this a lot about stuff. Like it gets dark, it gets serious. But Zeta Gundam, it like pretty much like most of the main characters die. Like it's the end of a series, so like major characters die. You know, the main character, bad stuff happens to him. He's not the main character of the new series. I'll just say that. And in Double Zeta Gundam, they went to goofy. Like in the first few episodes are entirely goofy, jokey, slapstick. And right after Zeta, that was not what people wanted, and it turned off a lot of people. It recovers after a while, but I've seen like the first 10 or so episodes, and it's goofy for a while, and it really does like it lays some groundwork, but it's really hard to slog through. I didn't make it.
Oh. Actually, yeah. We did miss one. I thought we did.
What'd you miss? What'd we miss?
The brand new one that started yesterday. Gundam Unicorn.
Right.
that they're extending it from. Well, yeah. How many movies was it?
It was supposed to be five. It became it was supposed to be six. Yeah, it was supposed to be six. It became seven.
Seven, and they're making it into a 24 to 26 episode series.
Yeah,
that's right. Which it's somewhat close to at seven movies.
Yeah. Considering that last movie is like nearly 2 hours.
Yeah, it was really long. Like they were like, we got to get this done. Actually, so it might not actually add very much at all.
Yeah.
But I bet it'll fix a couple of the interesting pacing issues.
Yeah. Hopefully it will focus on some parts that I've read in the novels that did not get covered in depth in the series, which would be interesting. But
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that's getting a syndicated TV thing.
Yep. So, as I was saying, watch the first Gundam movies. I would suggest watching the first Zeta movies. You can avoid Double Zeta. War in the Pocket is definitely worth it. Stardust Memory is also worth it. But the animation style is different enough that I would suggest watching them after Zeta.
See, and I would disagree completely with that entire thing.
Really?
I would say start with the 8th MS team.
Aha!
Because 8th MS team is a side story. It's a self-contained side story. It's not super long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to catch your interest. It's showing what it's like on the front lines, what normal soldiers are dealing with in this greater war.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's a side story, it might get you interested enough in the war that you'll go back and see the original Gundam movies.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And then you'll be like, oh, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this is.
That is a good point, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, usually when I watch something, I start at the very beginning. But sometimes it's just better to ease yourself in with something on the side.
Yeah.
That will tickle your interest and make you want to know more. So if I was going to start with a UC thing, yeah, I would probably start with 8th MS team.
Okay, that's a good sell. Yep.
Not saying that it's the best, but I'm saying it's probably the best way.
Way to start it, yeah. Okay. So you would go 8th MS team, then what? Then original?
Yeah. Original probably. Movies? Yeah, that's probably safest.
Yeah.
Is going to the originals and then the Zeta movies and stuff like that. Because at that point, you're probably going to want the full story.
Yeah.
Like, I really like War in the Pocket, but War in the Pocket is so different from everything else that it's not representative of Gundam.
No.
It's great. It's amazing. It's a must watch, but...
Yeah. I would suggest Stardust Memory after Zeta. Even though it comes between, I would still suggest watching it after. Because it's more, I think it's more interesting to first get Zeta and then find out why it happened.
Yeah, there's a reason that so many stories are mixed chronology.
Yeah.
It's because sometimes it's more interesting to know where you began and where you end, and then later on find out the change.
Yeah, that's why the third RPG is always an origin story. But, then after that, I would suggest Char's Counterattack.
Yeah, because then you're pretty much there.
Yeah, and then Unicorn.
And then Unicorn, yeah.
Yeah. F91 is fun. I enjoy it. I love it. But it's not necessary.
Yeah, F91, Victory Gundam, Turn of Gundam, these are things that are so far out there.
Yeah, they're more supplementary than...
Yeah, than a core thing.
Yeah. If you're really into it, then you could go into Igloo. Probably, like, if you're really thirsting for anything.
Like, I would say Igloo is at the far end of what you want. Like, go through everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where I would suggest you watching Origin, because it's not done yet. So it's like, I was just, you need to watch Origin, but it's not out completely yet, so you gotta wait a little while.
It, like Unicorn, is made for people who have seen lots of Gundam before.
Yeah. If you're really fascinated by the character of Char, so
which would be what the population of Japan
pretty much. He got his own car, so
no.
It was like a Toyota Char model, and that's the thing. It's like his thing is that he puts it's red and has a horn. And if it's red and has a horn, it moves at 3 times the specs of the standard model.
Yep.
But
yeah. It's the color that does it. Yeah. It's redshifting. Yep.
So that is the Universal Century timeline. As I figured, we kind of went a little long again. So I guess this will be a two-parter, and next time we can get back to the AU.
Yep, because as you've discovered, Toshi is very much the UC guy.
Yeah.
While I've seen some, certainly not all of UC by any stretch. Yeah. However, the AU Gundams, on the other hand, I've seen almost every one of them.
Yeah. So we will be back with that in our next episode. Again, sorry for not seeing. We haven't been able to see. Why is it escaping me now?
Black Lagoon?
Yeah, we have not seen Black Lagoon yet.
It's on the list. I'm getting there, but it's a bit.
The new season also just started.
Yeah, but the new season also started, so.
And you have to review all of the last season. So.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm pretty caught up on the last season. I've done a very good job of keeping up with that.
Okay. So, we will be back with that. Richard, where can people find you?
You can find me on kotaku.com, where I write about anime and Japanese games.
Hey.
Or you can find me on Twitter at @biggestinjapan.
Alrighty. So join us next time when we talk about the other Gundam.
Or as it should be called, the better Gundams.
I'll dispute that. But so I'm Toshi.
I'm Richard.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Podcast is part of the oneofus.net podcast network. You can follow us on Twitter @waywardpodcast or send your comments or questions to waywardpodcast@gmail.com.繰り返し明日へと繋いでる背中の羽が崩れ